Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Major is with us as always on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. Hope all is well. On Tuesday, Cassidy Hutchinson, the top aide to the chief of staff to President Trump. Mark Meadows, the chief of staff. Cassidy testified, and it was explosive. It was important. Stunned a lot of people. There has been pushback from certain members of the Secret Service. The president on Trump's social on Newsmax has pushed back. As you look back now, 3 days later, which words that she used, which parts of her testimony still stands out most to you and will be most impactful with the January 6th committee moving forward?
So the most important things that she said were the things that she heard people say to her or observed people say to each other in her presence. Among them that are very important and will never lose their relevance, the president was aware that some supporters of his were armed outside and in the rally space on January 6th, that he wanted them to be allowed to come closer to him, even though they were armed in contravention of Secret Service procedure for obvious reasons. And that he said, they're not after me, or they're not a threat to me, or words to that effect. Knowing that his intention and theirs was to disregard the permit for that rally. Remember, the permit for the rally was for the ellipse in front of the White House. That's it. That's the only permission that assemblage had, to rally in front of the White House on the ellipse. It did not have a permit to go to the Capitol in any way, shape, or form. And it certainly didn't have a permit to trespass, desecrate it, and invade it, and beat cops up along the way. But the president knew they were armed, understood that they were not a threat to him, but thought that they might be a threat to somebody else. Who is that somebody else? The Congress of the United States. As I've said from the very beginning, Chad, in Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony under oath, remember it's under oath, is that this was a premeditated executive branch attack on the legislative branch by means of a crowd brought to Washington on the heels of a lie, made more aggressive in the noxious belief of that lie, and then unleashed on the Congress with the full intent of slowing down, blocking, and intimidating Congress from doing what it was supposed to do on that appointed day, certify the peaceful transfer of presidential power. Until Cassidy Hutchinson testified, we did not have a look inside the White House and the demeanor of and the words of the President of the United States. Now we do. And yes, at the margins, at the very teeny edgy margins, there's a low-level disagreement about whether the president reached for the steering wheel of the SUV that he was riding in, and did in the process of that, did he bump into or bang into a Secret Service aide? Okay, that is being quote unquote disputed. That has so little relevance to the larger portrait painted of that day and the day leading up to it that nobody so far disagrees with in any measure. That is what matters. what the president's arm did or didn't do inside the SUV after his speech? Meaningless. That he wanted to go to the Capitol, no one disputes. That he knew that some in his crowd were armed, no one disputes. That he knew that those folks with those arms, meaning weapons, were heading to the Capitol, that also matters. And that's what my takeaway from Tuesday was.
Who do you want to hear next, and how likely is it that we will hear from this individual or those individuals coming up?
So Pat Cipollone is the White House counsel. John Dean was the White House counsel for Richard Nixon. John Dean wasn't the most important witness. Alexander Butterfield was in the Watergate history. But he was certainly very, very important. Pat Cipollone would be very important. He does not want to appear live before the cameras. He does not want to be in that place where he knows everyone in the Trump orbit will call him the name they always use, rat. That guy's a rat because he turned over. That's the terminology they use, and that's the terminology they've always used as long as I've known them, rat. That's the only word they use, and Pat Cipollone does not want to be called a rat for whatever set of reasons. But he knows he has to testify. He has no protection. The president is not his attorney. The presidency is his – I mean, the president's not his client. The presidency is his client. That's what the White House counsel does. You have a client relationship with the institution of the presidency, not the occupant.
That's it.
And you can't
that's an important point that I think people miss, Major.
Right. Yeah. And you can't have executive privilege over something that is implicated in a crime. There is no privilege there. We learned that from Nixon and Watergate. You can't say, oh, I've got privilege when you're talking about a potential crime. There is no privilege. So Pat Cipollone knows he has to testify. He doesn't want to do it live. He doesn't want to do it like Casey Hudson or anyone else. He wants to do it in some other way, transcripts so where people can read. It's less emotional. It's less visible. And he won't be fingered by the Trump inner world as a rat. But we will hear from him one way or the other. And that will be very important. And other people I'd like to hear from, they won't come because they're pleading the fifth. One of them was Michael Flynn. And we saw on Tuesday where Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor to the President of the United States, was asked, do you believe in the peaceful transfer of presidential power? And upon that, he took the Fifth Amendment. Now, that's sort of a middle finger to the whole January 6th committee. I get that. That's performative. But it's also grotesque beyond description.
It's embarrassing. I mean, here's a guy who served our country and can't just say that once someone has either served their two full terms or has lost, that cannot accept the transfer of power. So Liz Cheney, I want to talk Liz Cheney. I want to take a break. I want to talk 4th of July for Major Garrett. Liz Cheney is involved in a debate last night. I did not see all of it, but I saw the sound clips, and I'm telling you, outside of Liz Cheney, I thought it was an SNL skit, what some of these folks are saying and what they believe in Wyoming. And right now she's behind in polls, so it's working for some of these folks. And Donald Trump is playing a significant role because he's bitter, he's angry, because Liz Cheney is doing this, is performing this. She's telling the truth. She's playing the role of a Republican who believes in order and constitution as opposed to fealty and loyalty despite facts. If she loses, another night she gave a speech to the Reagan Library to a standing ovation. If she loses in Wyoming, where does she go? What is Liz Cheney's role moving forward?
So Liz Cheney is playing what can only be described as a long game politically. And what's the long game? This era will end, and she said it in the very first hearing. There will come a day when Donald Trump will no longer be here. I'm not directly quoting her, but that's my memory of the gist of it. There will come a time when Donald Trump will no longer be here, and something will be left standing, and I will be one of the things left standing, and the Constitution, we hope, will be left standing. But there will come a day when the thrall, when the emotional attachment, when all of the things – all of this noxious psychic energy wrapped around Donald Trump, that there will come a day when that will dissipate. And what will be left? What will be left on the Republican side of the aisle is those who said no to that noxious energy and yes to the Constitution, and those who didn't. And those who played politics, crass, venal politics, with something that I didn't think we would play that crass, venal politics with, the Constitution and the future of our constitutional republic. But apparently, some people think that there is some ambitious goal to be had mining that. And Liz Cheney is basically wasting no time or effort or breath calling that out and drawing that very bright white line. She may lose her primary, but she will not disappear, nor will those who stand on behalf of that and know the post-Trump era will eventually come. And I would say it's coming faster than many who still cling to Trump are willing to admit.
I agree. Let's pass on the break and let's just do 2-3 minutes here on the 4th of July.
And just one quick thing, because you have raised this with me before, and this is to preempt the text that you are going to get. You guys still
that Major
don't
Garrett
talk
hates
about
America.
Hunter. No, you still don't talk about Hunter. You still don't talk about Hunter.
Yep.
On the takeout 2 weeks ago, that ran on WCCO, and those who missed it, go to the archive. You can find it in a flash. James Comer, the incoming Republican who will probably take over the Oversight Committee, I spent two segments with him on one topic and one topic only, Hunter Biden. It will be the very first thing this committee will investigate, and he spent almost 15 minutes drilling down on all the things he believes, and the Oversight Committee believes it can prove Hunter Biden has done wrong. So for those in the audience, I did.
Right.
And it's there. You can go find it.
And the show has been particular and specific in its criticism of Joe Biden. And this is coming up many, many times on his beleaguered presidency. Give me the most distinctive memory of a young Major Garrett in San Diego celebrating the 4th, and at any point, were you wearing a Speedo?
No.
Dang it.
No. So, not surprisingly, it's wrapped up in baseball, the Padres, and San Diego Stadium. We spent a lot of 4th of July's when the Padres were in town there. They always had great fireworks. That was always a very, very big deal. We were not a big barbecuing family, you know, back because remember, I was born in 1962. So the late 60s, early 70s, barbecues were very small. You know, you didn't have the big propane tank and the 14 different grill areas and settings. You didn't have the place for the sauce and the warmer and all that other stuff. You basically had hibachi. If you kicked it over, you had fiery coals on the lawn all afternoon and it was kind of a hassle. But it's all wrapped around baseball, fireworks, and my family. And, you know, because it was also a gentler, less regulated time, we had a lot of sparklers in the backyard, and I love to play with the sparklers and all the little fireworks that small children with parental supervision, I want to make sure I wasn't raised by wolves, you know. We had very, very safe but also very fun fireworks, and that was always what the 4th was about.
Can we add the next segment, next time you're on next Friday, you were raised by wolves? That would add some juice to this. You know, I mean, you know, I'm loving it, but all of a sudden we just added out of nowhere. Yes, Major was raised by wolves. And his father, I don't know what his father's name, I don't know, Joe the Wolf will be joining us next week. You know. All right, sir, enjoy the weekend. I'm sure you'll be busy.
Have a great weekend.
Yes,
have a great weekend. I'll be anchoring the evening news tonight, Monday and Tuesday, in case anyone cares.
Fabulous. Could you shout out the show at some point? No, that's a
just look for the
I know.
Wink.
I've asked
just
that.
Look for the wink.
Yes, I'll take the great Major Garrett. We are so fortunate to have him on the air.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.